Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Rodney with Video Games Now, and I'm joined with Cole.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about some video game movies today, because Sonic's doing actually really well in the box office, which is kind of shocking. But
crazy well. Yeah. Well, after the fuss everybody made, everybody should go see it. Like, normally I'd be kind of up in the air, but if everybody wanted to get the remake done of Sonic's what he looks like, go see it. They did it. They listened to us.
Yeah, so, we're going to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog, and we're going to talk about Cabin Fever director Eli Roth signs on to do a Borderlands movie, an alleged report says, and then also we're going to just talk about all the other games that are potentially in development right now, and it's going to be a good-ass time, and that's all coming up right now.
Right now. Right now.
All right, everybody, so welcome back. Visit our website, videogamesnow.ca, to find all of our content, including our YouTube videos, social media links, and the latest gaming news, which is a lie now. I should change that in the script, because it's the gaming news that we cover on the podcast. After the show, please leave a review on whatever you're listening to us on to find out about our gaming word of the week, brought to you by Cole this week. So, Cole, what's the word?
You weren't kidding when you said 12 seconds.
Yo, dude, I got this dialed in. I've been doing this for 133 podcasts now.
All right. I'm just looking through a big old list of gaming words, but they don't have the description. I have to click on the gaming word to find the description.
All right. Well, while you're looking for that,
we'll do a mid-podcast gaming word. So you got to listen all the way through if you want to get that gaming word.
All right. Now, finally, have you considered becoming a Video Games Now Patreon? As a Patreon, you get access to the podcast episodes one day earlier than everyone else, as well as discounts on our store. Exclusive stories, which we just recorded like a 2.5 minute, 3 minute bonus thing just before the, just after the intro. That'll be Patreon only access. And you can listen to the podcast live on Discord while we record it and join in on our Patreon chat channel, which I have open right now. And I think, Bradley yesterday said, I'll be joining you guys on the podcast tomorrow. And I'm like, what? Like, okay, whatever, that's fine. And I'm like, did you mean, like, on the actual podcast or, like, in the Patreon? He's like, oh, no, in the Patreon, because I won't just invite myself to the podcast. Ha, ha. But no, then this morning I'm like, I thought you were joining us. And he's like, no, I'm working. I'm like, Bradley.
Come on.
Bradley.
I was going to say, we should have a Bradley podcast where we talk about all of the stuff he does.
We should have a roast podcast. That'd be so much fun.
That's every podcast with Mark.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, I found the gaming word, but it's not one you have to guess. It's a really easy one, but if you know me, if you grew up playing video games with me, which I don't think anybody here did, this was one of my favorite things to do. So,
trolling?
The gaming word of the week is screen peeking.
We've done that one before. You fucking stole that.
Really?
Yeah, that was like one of the first ones we ever did was screen peeking.
Well, was I there for that?
Don't know.
Maybe not.
I can't remember what episode that was.
Damn. But I try to listen to the podcast at work, but sometimes I don't get all the way through every single podcast, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, so I have an hour drive to work, so I have enough time to listen to the podcast. And then I go, whoa, those stupid guys, why didn't they talk about this or mention this? I actually end up laughing at my own jokes when I'm listening to the podcast back in my car. And I'm like,
that's funny.
That Rodney guy's funny.
All right, I found another one.
All right.
All right, die and retry.
I think pretty sure we've done that one before. You're looking on, where are you looking on for the word?
Genius?
Yeah, I've been on Genius. I've exploited Genius. Like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
All right,
so then, anyone that's unique that people wouldn't know, I've definitely used.
And then there's some that don't have definitions. They're just there, like smooth skinning. And there's another one that I'm like, what do these mean? Commonwealth?
I know what commonwealth
means in real life. But
smooth
what
skinning. Let's speculate what that is and then look it up. So what do you,
right.
I think smooth skinning is a process with like modeling, like to get a cleaner looking character.
I'm gonna go in the same direction where it's like, you know, like in Oblivion or Fallout, how all the characters just like all look exactly the same. Not exactly the same, but they all have like the smooth skin. It's just the smooth skinning characters.
Smooth skin gaming term. Let's check it out. The Vault. Oh, it might have something to do with Fallout, I just saw. Oh, okay. A nickname for a person in your circle of friends who is inept, yet you keep him close so he can be taken care of. So, like Mark.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's good. Friends inept, helpless, trouble, keyboards. Yeah. That's what
smooth skinning is?
Yeah, apparently.
Huh.
Get a smooth skin mug for your brother-in-law in Manford. No, that doesn't make sense. This is the description. Hey, did you know what smooth skin did? Know what? He put a diesel in his car again. Oh, smooth skin.
That's really funny.
Oh.
The fact that it's put diesel in his car again makes it even better.
I know. That's like a bad SNL skit.
Yeah, that's good. I like that a lot.
All right. Okay, guys, so let's move into our first topic here, which is, let's talk about Sanic. Actually, let's talk about this Borderlands movie first. So, I'm not a big fan of the games, as people know who've listened to the show before. I bought 3 and played about 3 hours, 4 hours of it and lost all interest.
Looter shooters.
Yeah. So, speaking of looter shooters, I'm thinking about going back and playing Anthem and seeing if it's worth it a year later, and we'll do a video on that and put it on our YouTube page. So, if you guys are Anthem players, actually, Eric, I'm shouting out to you directly. I'm getting some time off here shortly, so I don't know if you have any specific days off during the week, but we should play some Anthem and re-review it.
I was saying I was so close to buying Anthem because we were all going to buy it together, and I was like, I'm going to wait like 5 days before I buy it, and I'm so glad that I waited those 5 days.
Will literally bought the game, and it's like in the same spot still at his house. Like, it's like on top of his shelf. Like, he bought it, put it on top of his shelf, and then never opened it.
There you go. But he played it, didn't he?
He played the beta, and then he heard all the shitty things coming out about Anthem, and he's like, yeah, never mind, I'm not playing it.
Really? If I bought it, I would definitely still try it.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even have time to return my texts anymore.
Whew. Let alone play Anthem.
Yep. So, anyways, this is a quote from Eli Roth. He says, I'm so excited to dive into the world of Borderlands. I cannot be doing it with a better script, producing team, and studio. I have a long, successful...
He can't be.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just looking it up.
I have a long, successful history with Lionsgate, feel like we've grown up together, and everything in my directing career has led to a project of this scale and ambition. So, Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford, made the announcement on Twitter and told his followers to attend the Gearbox main theater show at the Amarant PAX East 2020 and to find out more. Then the post was suddenly deleted. It's possible that Pitchford revealed the reveal before he had gotten the green light, but the tweet did feature Roth's head on a psycho body and said, welcome to the Borderlands family. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Craig Mazin.
Yep.
Who wrote Chernobyl is writing the script.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if you've seen Chernobyl, but it is amazing. It is so incredible. So that's going to be fun.
Every time I see Chernobyl, I'm interested in seeing it, but I've never actually like committed to watching it.
Watch it. One weekend I just like sat down and I watched and I couldn't stop. Like I watched all 5 episodes back to back. It is so intriguing. So well done.
Is it only 5 episodes? Is it a miniseries?
Yeah, it's miniseries and they're each like an hour long. But it's so, like that's the perfect amount. Like you don't need any more. Like they told the story so well in those episodes that it's just like it's perfect.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, of course, Cole and I work in the film business, so we'll probably have a bit more to say about some of these things, including Sonic the Hedgehog, which was actually shot here in Vancouver. I didn't work on it personally, but I have a bunch of friends that did work on it. Mm-hmm. So, and you too, Cole.
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, actually, so we're shooting in a small town on Vancouver Island called Ladysmith. And Sonic shot there a year and a bit ago when they were actually doing filming. And they went in and just hosed them down with money. Just, like, fucking splooged all over the town with money. And then, I don't know if... They didn't really leave the town in disarray, but they kind of could have left it a tad bit better. So then we get there, and we're like, hey, we're from the movies. And everyone's like, oh, are you part of them Sonic fucks?
and they all got their hands out, like, where's our money?
Yeah, so
where's the money, Lebowski?
Yeah, so we kind of had to clean up their mess, in a sense. But this one guy was being ridiculous. Redonkulous. He's like, we wanted to cover his sign. Like, he had some bowling alley or something, and we wanted to cover his sign and make it, like, the entrance to, a diner or something. So, you know, that's pretty relatively easy. We normally pay, like, you know, $100 or something to cover someone's sign up. And, yeah, he wanted, like, $2,500, and we're like, yeah, no, that's not what we pay people for fucking something as simple as this. And he was literally pushing so hard for $2,500, and he wouldn't budge off, and we're like, all right, well, I guess we'll just put it in a post, and we won't fucking pay you shit. How about that, fucker?
There you go.
Suck it. Anyways.
Very passionate about your signs, Rodney.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, you know what, that's what happens. You get too greedy, and the money walks, so... Anyways.
Listen to the money talk. How much did this make opening weekend? Apparently made like a ton of money this weekend. Like 33 mil?
I'm on Rotten Tomatoes.
That doesn't sound like very much. 137 million.
So it already made its money back, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it cost about 81 to 95 million. I don't know if that's included with the remaps of Sonic's face.
Right. I thought it would be on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's not. I'm going to just look it up here. Sonic budget. Bah. $95 million is what it cost.
So yes, you made its money back.
Yeah. Detective Pikachu cost $150 million, but that was a heavy, heavy visual effects film.
So oh, yeah.
I can see that being that expensive.
And that made a ton of money, too, didn't it?
It did. I'm going to actually just check that out.
I hope it opens up the possibility for more Pokemon movies. Because, like, live-action Pokemon movies that are done well. I feel bad for... What's his name? Smith.
Not Jaden.
That's his son. This is the no-Smith relation Jaden.
I can't remember his fucking name. But, yeah. Buddy, I know the guy from Detective Pikachu, the main dude. Yeah,
yeah. I think he's a fantastic actor, but I also think he struggled acting with things that aren't there.
Justice Smith.
Got it. Justice Smith. Yeah. But I hope that there's some people who are really good at acting around visual effects creatures.
Well, no matter what, when you're an actor and you have to act with a physical thing, the acting performance is going to be substantially better than if you're acting to a fucking tennis ball on a fucking C-stand.
You ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, yeah. That movie was so fucking good.
Dude, the guy who's in that, who is that? Who Framed...
The guy who should be in a mob movie, but he's in a fucking cartoon movie?
Yeah. He was so good. Like, when the scene where he's, like, in the bar drinking and the penguin waiter comes up and he's like, I want a whiskey on the rocks, but not actual rocks. Like, just the way that he could act around... Yeah. Inanimate objects was so good. Like he was so natural, and even the way they react to like Jessica Rabbit and Roger. So it's possible.
What's really fucking cool about that movie is we don't do a lot of physical
Slapstick?
No. Like, just special effect, more special effects-y shit. Like, it's all visual. Not all visual, but it's, I'd say, 85% visual now. Like, explosions, very rarely are those actually practical. On the superhero shows, they're more practical because they have a bigger special effects budget, but...
And a smaller visual effects budget.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, like, practical effects, that's what I was looking for. That whole movie, just the way they did practical effects was so incredible. If anybody has any sort of interest in the movie business, they should go on YouTube and watch behind the scenes of Roger Rabbit. It's so intriguing. Like, just what they had to do to get what they wanted, and then they just hand-drew over the cartoon character for, like, there was, like, a, like for the what you were just talking about, the penguin thing, they had a C-stand arm that was greened out, and then it was holding the tray, and then they just
rotated the tray,
yeah, and then they just drew over the C-stand arm.
Wow.
Yeah,
so it was, now everybody's gonna have to Google what a C-stand looks like.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly.
And I wish that Roger Rabbit had a video game so that we could relate this to video game movies.
Yeah. Well, we're relating it to
video movie. Pokemon.
To Pokemon. So now that
you Google C-stand and you see a C-stand.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Sorry. What were you going?
Now that Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay. So Sonic the Hedgehog is now doing good. It just made. I just saw it. Hang on. It made. I think. Oh, Detective Pikachu made $431 million in the box office. And Sonic's made. It doesn't say. I'm pretty sure it made just like 67 or something, 50 years.
I mean, it's still going, so.
Yeah. But anyways, do you think Sonic would have done it as well as it did if it didn't redesign the character?
No, I don't.
Cool.
I think redesigning the character drew a lot of, I'd say outside people who are maybe more curious about it. Like, if it was just a Sonic movie, I think it would have just been a Sonic movie. But because of how bad the character was and how the meme culture just blew up around it, I think that like really helped the movie, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Because I was like never gonna see it. I like Sonic. I like the old Sonic games, and I mean, I know that he's had a bad run over the last few years, but I was never gonna see it. Now I'm like really curious to watch it and just see how it all turned out. So
you know,
and I feel like I'm not the only one.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is the Sega logo is nowhere to be seen on this on this poster.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Sega was like, we know how this goes.
Yeah.
You take it. And
yeah.
Now it actually did really good.
But anyways, yeah, no, I'm interested in seeing it now, for sure. So here's what I think. So Detective Pikachu did really well. They didn't have a lot of fan input on that, but they had people... I think they had people from the Pokemon company that were actually involved with making the movie.
You think so?
I think they did, yeah. So, and then Sonic was going to be shit. I mean, the content would have been the same. It would have just been Sonic's design. So I think that's what really butchers video game movies specifically. Like, think of the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Like, no characters looked anything like anything from the fucking games.
And oh yeah, like just, the Koopas and the yeah.
But I mean, honestly,
was just a dude.
I mean, the costume design was not the biggest fucking problem with that movie, but you know, they gotta look decent, especially now it's 2020. Like, visual effects have come a long way. You know, we should be able to make Sonic look like fucking Sonic, right?
Yeah.
So now that we're in this era where we're actually producing decent video game movies, which was never even a conceivable thought until last year, there's a list of 15 games that are potentially either being talked about being made or in development currently. So yeah, let's go through that list there, Cole.
Are you gonna make me guess? I don't have this list.
I'm gonna post that in the Skypeage. How about that?
Boop, 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 boop. Good
Skypeage.
I thought you were going to post it on the Discord so everybody could see.
Yeah, I mean, I could. I already posted it in the Skypeage.
Oh, I also.
In the Skypeage. Fuck. Okay, so first one's Monster Hunter.
Is it an American or a Japanese make?
I'm going to read... I haven't read this article yet. I'm just kind of pulling this article up and winging it. So it says that, as the name suggests, Monster Hunter games are all about tracking, fighting, and capturing all sorts of beasts across several fantasy lands. Players design their own characters, and they're generally... very little in the way of story throughout Monster Hunter series, which is probably why I'm not interested in it, honestly.
What? That's not true.
Is it?
There's a huge story in Monster Hunter. The lore is massive. It's crazy. The whole thing is story-based. It's like a monster fight based around hours and hours of, like, what's it called? Final Fantasy-level storytelling. So whoever wrote this article... he's got to get their shit right together.
I'm on Business Insider, and Kevin Webb wrote this article, so you should write.
I cannot open it. Well, let me open it.
Okay, I'll put it in the Discord.
Oh, there we go. Now I got
it. You got it? Okay.
I opened it about 17 times now.
Okay. So the movie in production stars Mila Jovovich. Sorry, that was just a weird combination of V's that I couldn't say. She's best known for her role in Alice in Resident Alien, another video game adaption by Capcom, same developer that made the Monster Hunter franchise. Okay, so let's talk about a Monster Hunter movie. What's something you want to see in this movie?
Bring in monsters, bro.
I think,
you go ahead, you go ahead.
I played the beta for Monster Hunter 3 on 3DS, and I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Oh my god, that was so good. The 3DS one was like,
Oh yeah?
That was minty. That was like when it was getting like out of control. Like the one before that was really good, and then the second it hit the DS, it was like, alright, we're hitting next level here.
Shit. I think what killed it for me was the camera controls.
Do you know what you need to do for, like, the way that I started playing Monster Hunter was a buddy of mine, we worked at Target together. And he was like, oh, you ever played Monster Hunter? No. I was like, oh, come over to my house after work. We'll play Monster Hunter. So I went over there, and the two of us just sat in his room, and he, like, gave me the whole rundown on how to play Monster Hunter. Like, you have to play it with somebody. It's a game you play with friends. Right. You can't just go on your own. I mean, you can go on your own and play Monster Hunter, but, like, when you're first starting or when you're trying to get the basics figured out, find somebody who's played it before and play it with them.
So it's like any game we've fucking played in the last... couple
yeah.
months.
Like, yeah. We've been talking about which games to play together, like you and me, and Adam Terrybear has been playing Monster Hunter lately, and I'm like, man, but he's so much better than I am. Like, you have to level up together. You can't go separately, or else you'll just completely get outclassed by the monster. So you have to, like, almost make a character to play together, and I was going to be like, Rodney, you should pick up Monster Hunter, and we should play some play some Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I don't know. It just...
That's my thing. Yeah, that's all good.
Speaking of games we're playing together, we played Crawl last weekend after the podcast, exactly like you said.
Mm.
Usually it's like, hey, we should play that game. Yeah, and then we never play that game. But yeah, we played that game, and we had a lot of fun, actually. It was a good game. Bradley mentioned in the Discord that he played that game for his 4-hour stream. Bradley's doing really good, actually, for his Gamer Temple gamer page.
That's why we have to do a podcast about Bradley.
Like, oh my god, Bradley, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It's an honor for you to be on the podcast. Or, actually, no, we can go the different route. We can go, yeah, we knew Bradley before he was famous.
Yeah, we knew Bradley before he was famous.
Yeah. He's starring in the new Monster Hunter movie. No.
Yeah, he plays the third monster. He plays the Rathios.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, we played Crawl, so we have a video on our website, on our YouTube page. Actually, it's on our website, too, so that wasn't a full lie. So you guys can check that out if you're curious about the game and see what it's all about. It's me yelling, going, ah, why am I not getting my humanity back? and then last night and the night before, we were playing some Call of Duty.
In the tournament mode, which I never played until you showed up, and now I'm having a blast.
Yeah, that was that was some good times. I thoroughly enjoyed playing last night. Even when we were playing... we're playing hardcore, which is infinitely better than core.
The second you hit hardcore, it's just like, it's so much better.
Like, I should not have to unload an entire fucking clip of a gun to kill somebody. Like, that's fucking dumb.
Yeah. Like, that. I was playing, I play with the SCAR, or I've been playing with the SCAR recently, and it takes 2 shots with the SCAR on hardcore, and it takes 5, I think, in regular core, and I accidentally started a game of core and I didn't realize it. And I hit this guy so many times, I was like, he's cheating. I was like, this guy is like, there's no way. And then I realized I was playing core, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a terrible game.
Yeah.
And it was.
And There's a new map called Shipment, which is fucking nonsense. Like, it's such a small map, and there, how many people are on a map? Like 10?
It depends. Yeah, it's the 5 on each side, yeah.
Yeah, so there's 10 people on this, like, I'm not even shitting you, like, the smallest fucking map imaginable. Like,
it's a remake map, too. That's from an older COD game.
What? Why would that even be a map? Like,
I think it's Modern Warfare, the original Modern Warfare, but it's a redesign of the same map, I
think. Okay. Well, anyways, it's got shipping containers on it, and you can walk from one side of the level to the other in about 10 seconds. So that's how big it is, and it's a square. It's a perfect square, so you could walk to the other corner in about 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So now 10 people are spawning. Like, you're literally shooting a guy, and then another guy will spawn beside him or spawn in front of you, and you'll just get a triple kill, and you're like, oh,
or
cool.
Or spawn behind you, yeah. And then you'll spawn behind another guy or in front of another guy and just die 15 times before you move.
Yeah, it's fucking nonsense. To the point where, like, our whole team last night was like, okay, we're done now.
You do really, really good for, like, a minute, and then you do really, really bad for about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
it's really detrimental on the heart.
Totally.
And the soul.
But, Cole and I were playing tournament mode last night, and fuck, we were having a good time. There was one game in particular, like, I could not even... I was so stoked at the results. So, Cole and I were... So, tournament mode's like gunfight. So, you... For those who don't play COD, yeah, it's 2v2. And it'll give you and the other opponents a set loadout, like, so a specific gun, a specific sidearm, and the specific tactical and lethal weapons. Projectiles. So, you know, you could be really good with certain guns, but shit with others. So, and then you just gotta, you're playing on a small reduced map. The maps are identical on both sides, with the exception of, like, a middle piece might be slightly ajar or something like that. So you just, you can either go left, right, or center. You can go left high or left low or whatever. But yeah, you just gotta pick and try to outmaneuver your opponents. And, it was so much fun.
It's stressful.
Yeah, it's super stressful. I was a monster in the beginning.
And at the end, you were a monster the whole way through. Ronnie's like, oh, I haven't played Call of Duty for so long, I'm going to be so bad. And then he carried us through everything.
There was one, I think you died early. And then I rushed. I was running and gunning a lot. And I ran, and this guy popped out, and I fucking hip fired him, like, gun in his gut. Just like, pow, pow, pow. And then immediately knocked down that other guy. It was just super fun. But anyways,
that was all pistol.
The one that was sticking out of my mind is the one where we won. So we were down 5-2. So six points to win. We're down 5-2, and we came back and won it. And we were just
we won like four in a row.
Oh, it was so good. Like, we were on fucking fire. Like, I wasn't even ready to start the next game because, like, I couldn't even fucking focus. I was just so stoked. It's like, I need a fucking minute. Holy shit. And then we ended up losing in the semis. Fuck, bullshit.
Anyways. Yeah, but it definitely increases your game, you know? You definitely get pretty good.
Yeah, like, my headshots are on point.
Your headshots are on point.
Oh, my other favorite game? So everyone started with a sniper, and my kind of rule is, so you can peek off the beginning, and you should be able to see the opponent.
Usually, but when you spawn in, there's one piece of cover, and you step left or right out of that cover, and then it starts. Yeah.
So,
the same for the opponent. Yeah.
Yeah. So that it can be dangerous. So my kind of rule is only one person peeks. Like, if you have a sniper, only one person peeks. So if he dies, we still have the other guy. But this one particular game, I don't know why, but I'm peeking, and Cole's like, I'm peeking too, and. Okay, whatever. So we literally poked our head out, and both at the exact same time fucking headshotted both enemies and killed both of them and won the game in like 2 seconds. It was so fucking good.
Which could have happened to us, but didn't. We got them.
Yeah. Alright, let's get back to the movies. My dog is bothering me. Okay, so Monster Hunter September 2020 is coming out, and Resident Evil. Didn't we already have 6 Resident Evil films?
It does say 6, the 6th Resident Evil film.
The sixth,
which I don't even want to talk. Like, I don't even care.
Yeah. Let's next. Okay. Uncharted. Spider-Man actor Tom Holland will star in a movie based on PlayStation's popular Uncharted series. The premise of the Uncharted is similar to the iconic Indiana Jones franchise and stars wise-cracking hero Nathan Drake. Holland looks...
I wonder if Nathan Fillion will play. He's getting a little old.
This says Holland looks much younger than Drake in the games, but will perhaps make the film version
Holland's
of Uncharted.
Playing,
he's playing Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Oh, I thought he was just going to be in it, but that's crazy.
Yeah. It'll
you better get big.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, this guy, Nathan Drake, looks literally nothing like Tom Holland. I think that was a poor casting choice. That's just a name attached with it, I think.
But I mean, Nathan Drake in the one, like in the fourth game, he's like older, but in the first games, he's young. Could be,
Well, I know, but he's young, but he's bulky, yeah.
And his voice is very deep, where John Holland is like,
ugh.
He's very teeny boppy.
All right, this is the next Academy Award winning film, Minecraft the Movie.
Oh, dude, I have a Minecraft TV series or a mini series that I want to do that's like very realistic, very like gritty. And I keep seeing all of this Minecraft stuff pop up, and I'm like, oh, I hope they don't take my idea.
They're listening to you.
They're listening to me right now.
They steal everything that we come up with on this podcast.
Right? Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so with more than 100 million copies sold worldwide, Minecraft is without a question one of the most popular games of all time. Mojang, the Microsoft subsidiary behind the game, has been trying to get a Minecraft movie into production for years. The production has seen multiple directors come and go, however, making it hard to get off the ground. But in January 2019, Warner Brothers announced it has tapped Peter Skolit, the director of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, to helm the movie as of now. So it has a March 4th, 2022 release date.
Isn't Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist shot in Vancouver?
I'm not sure about that.
Oh. I think I've heard of somebody working on it, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, so this one pisses me off. Call of Duty, speaking of Call of Duty. Best-selling video game franchise of all time, and it has set the bar for just about every military-related video game released during the past 10 years. The series is focused on war stories spanning decades of American military history, with some even expanding into futuristic space combat. So it's like, oh great, another fucking war movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't think Call of Duty should have a fucking... should have a movie. I think...
Well, Call of Duty... Call of Duty. War movies... usually, for the most part, don't glorify war, right? Like, you watch, like, Saving Private Ryan, Fury, or even 1917. Like, these movies show how gruesome war is and how it's not a good thing. Where Call of Duty is like, sign up for the military.
We
kill the bad guys.
Yeah, Call of Duty is totally an American propaganda thing.
Yeah, so making an American propaganda war movie might not be the best thing in the world, but I don't know, it's just me.
Yeah, I feel they could have made the same stories and just not call it Call of Duty. They're literally attaching this title to it to try to get people to watch it.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So, that's annoying. So the Call of Duty movie is under the helm of Stefano Solemi. I can't say that fucking name. The director of
Salama.
Yeah, the director of Sicario and its sequel, Sicario: The Days of
Sicario.
Yeah, Sicario. Yeah, thanks, Cole. Thank God you're here.
I got you covered. I'm dyslexic because I can't read at all, but I love Sicario. What a fantastic movie! I haven't seen the second one.
So, how do you say his name?
Salama
has shown a penchant for modern gunplay and urban combat in both of these films, suggested that the film may opt for a more present-day setting rather than a World War II backdrop of the earlier games of the series.
Definitely, yeah, that's what Sicario is, very modern.
Here's another one. They've done every single type of gun movie, so these kind of aren't reaching out to me personally. But Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six is a squad-based shooting game franchise inspired by the Tom Clancy novel of the same name. The novel follows a team of counter-terrorism operatives that embark on a variety of missions. Paramount Pictures is planning a multiple Rainbow Six films with the Black Panther and Creed actor Michael B. Jordan, not the basketball player, in a starring role as Rainbow Six Commander John Clark. The first film, Without Remorse, will tell Clark's origin story, followed by a sequel called Rainbow Six.
I really do enjoy the Rainbow Six games, but I wonder how they're gonna do it. Who are the bad guys in these games? Like, you're just gonna slap terrorists on there? Or
yeah.
Russian
on there? ND Middle Eastern terrorists, like every other fucking gun movie.
Yeah, we'll make up they're gonna make up their own country somewhere that's like that they want to go to war to and be like, this is where this happening.
You know what? I'm actually really glad that Modern Warfare in the campaign mode actually did that. They created like a fictional country that they're going to war with, so it didn't raise any ideas or suspicions.
I mean, it's still you make a fictional like continent off somewhere else, you know. But I mean, they slapped it right where, you know. I feel like even though it's a fictional place, it's still we all know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
That's just me.
But it doesn't have a specific tie to anybody, right? So if you, so if someone can't be like, hey, you're declaring war on our country because you made a game about shooting us and blah. But
no Russian.
No Russian, yeah.
No Russian. Imagine if like Russia was making these games. What if they made this series is focused on war stories spanning over decades of Russian military history.
Yeah.
How well do you think that would go over?
Probably not very well.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, anyway, so the next game on this list is Tom Clancy's The Division. Tom Clancy's The Division is a post-apocalyptic shooting game pitting players against one another in a corrupt government, So this is basically what the world's going to be like in 30 years.
Yeah, this is the safer route for war games.
Yeah. The plot seems to ripe for adaptation, as post-apocalyptic narratives like The Walking Dead and The 100 have become popular. People apparently recognize the potential for human drama at the end of the world. While The Division isn't exactly Red Dawn, the story lends itself to a thoroughly patriotic narrative that would fit perfectly into the action movie. I like the original Red Dawn way more than the remake.
I don't remember Red Dawn. I remember Hunt for Red October.
Hunt for Red October? What's that one?
That's Sean Connery. He's making a Hunt for Red October.
Oh, okay.
Red Dawn.
It's, when did that movie originally come out? It was like early. Charlie Sheen was in it, like when he first started his acting career.
And Patrick Swayze?
Yeah.
Is it post-apocalyptic?
No, it's not post-apocalyptic. It's, these kids are in school, and then these fucking paratroopers drop in and just start killing everybody. And then these kids, like, escape to the mountainside and then form a resistance and fight these people that took over their town.
Weird. This looks like... I gotta watch this. This looks crazy.
Watch the original, don't watch the new one. The new
one. Yeah, no, I... With Chris... The Australian guy?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, and what the fucking guy from Hunger Games? Is that it? The new one?
Josh Hutch...
I don't know his name. The guy that plays Peeta. His fucking name is
Josh Peck, isn't it? That's crazy. Peeta. Yeah, but the original, this looks awesome. I'm gonna watch this Red Dawn.
Yeah, it's a good classic movie. Yeah, they should have just left it at that and not rebooted it. Fucking bullshit.
Reboot anyway, everything.
I know. All right, the next game is Sleeping Dogs. Sleeping Dogs was a sleepier hit when it came out in 2012. The game plays like a mix between Grand Theft Auto and Jackie Chan movie Rush Hour. And it's a joyful. It joyfully turns the city of Hong Kong into a playground.
I played very little bit of Sleeping Dogs, but yeah, it looks like a really fun game.
The martial artist and actor Donnie Yen of IP Man and Iron Monkey will star in the undercover cop Wei Shin, and he's shared multiple pictures of himself playing the role. Yen has said the film is still in production and has urged fans to be patient. So, if Jackie Chan is not in this movie, I'll be thoroughly upset.
I feel like no, there's comedy to it. I was gonna say, is it too serious of a movie for Jackie Chan? But there's some comedic bits in it.
Okay, so this next one is being picked up by Netflix. Devil May Cry. Unlike the other adaptations on this list, Devil May Cry Netflix series will be animated in 2D.
Hmm.
That's odd.
Hmm.
The executive
in 2D, like how they do Castlevania 2D?
No, like Family Guy and American Dad and Rick and Morty, those are 2D.
Interesting.
The executive producer in Ari Shankar revealed his plans to adapt the demon hunting video game into an animated series in the late 2018s. Shankar, I can't say his name without doing that now.
Shang-Kar
previously worked on Netflix's Castlevania, another animated video game adaptation, which has been celebrated by fans and critics alike. Shang-Kar.
They're coming out with the third season. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah?
For Castlevania. Yeah.
Shang-Kar hinted that the two series could cross over in some way.
That'd be... the animation style is very... Yeah, that 2D is for how Castlevania is, so that'll be the same art style. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. Next one on this list is Final Fantasy 14. So, Sony Pictures Television and Hivemind, the production company behind Amazon's The Expanse and Netflix's adaptation of The Witcher, are planning to create a new live-action series based on Final Fantasy 14, a massive multiplayer online role-playing game that first launched in 2013. Oh, yeah, Star Fox. You can't hear the music. I forgot. So I just
I can't.
Made a random fucking...
I'll get it when I listen to the podcast.
You'll get it.
Have you played a lot of Final Fantasy?
No, I haven't. I never had a PlayStation, right? The PS5 will be my first owned PlayStation console.
I'm so confident.
Like I've said before, I don't think the Xbox Series X has anything worth my time.
Yeah, you just get a computer because all the Microsoft stuff is on there anyway. That's the direction that they're moving.
Well, that's weird that they spend all. If that's the direction they're moving, they spend all this money on a console that no one's going to fucking buy. If that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's you'll. I think if they don't make a console, a lot of people are going to buy it. But
well, here's the thing:
you'll break the video game wars if you do that. If you just don't make a console, Sony's going to explode.
So here's the thing, is the price of the Xbox Series X is literally going to dictate the future of fucking Microsoft. Because if the console's going to be $700, folks, just go buy a fucking... You can literally build a super powerful gaming PC for
2,000.
I wouldn't go... Like, for $1,000. So if you're going to buy a fucking Series X, and they're going to make Halo Infinite available on PC, just fucking build a computer.
Yeah, but the thing, if you build a slightly more expensive computer, you can just switch out parts every few years. You don't have to buy an entirely new console.
Yeah, exactly. I've chatted with a couple people on the Discord about this, but yeah, for when you're building a computer, honestly, people build $2,000 computers. It's like, why? You're not getting that much more of a performance boost after $1,200. $1,200. So an extra $500, you can make a super fucking awesome gaming computer. But that's not including monitors.
So, yeah, monitors and all your other fancy stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, you save up some money, build a computer. It's going to be great. And you can always play controller on most of the time on any of the games. So if you're not confident with keyboard mouse like me, then you can just use controller and get fucking murked. And here's another thing about Sony is I'm actually really curious what their plans are in the next few years, because they've kind of distanced themselves from Nintendo and Microsoft by not going to the same events as them and just kind of doing their own thing. So I wonder if they're planning to, push ahead in the market for the consoles now. For reals. And Xbox is just gonna kind of fall off the fucking rails, and then Nintendo's just puttering along on their own track. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird in the next few years what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Okay, so we're almost near the end here. So that was Final Fantasy 14. The next one is, I'm sure everybody's aware, Halo was once the crown jewel of video game science fiction, with the extended universe fueled by novels and short films supporting the games. Halo 4 and 5 weren't as popular as the first three, however. The franchise has somewhat faded into the public eye, but the Halo machine is still rolling, and Showtime expects a 10-episode series starring series protagonist Master Chief to air in 2020. The next game in the franchise, Halo Infinite, will drop later this year as well.
The thing, so they're going to follow Master Chief in this 10-episode series, but the thing that, I don't get is, if you have a story already that you play this character and you have an extensive universe like Halo does, why not do something more like Reach, you know? Like, or follow a different character. Like, what, are they just going to tell the story of the video game? And then they always make changes, and then it's completely different. So you've got a book that's completely different from the video game, and a movie that's completely different from the book and the video game that are all about the same character, but are completely different.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But that, like, happens all the time. That they do it, like, in every single movie.
Well, that's just exactly the same as they, like, when they adapt books into movies. It's like, why would you cut that fucking part out? That's, like, a crucial part to the story.
Yeah, oh, we took some creative liberties. It's fine to take creative liberties. Make a story about a different character. That was my problem with the whole Solo movie. Like, I was like, man, Solo's a great Star Wars movie, but it wasn't... like, it could have been any character, you know? Like, it didn't have to be Han Solo. It could have been anybody. But I guess for the general eye, like, the people who don't really play the video games or the people who aren't, like, big movie people, all they see on here is, ooh, Master Chief movie. Ooh, Geralt's gonna be in The Witcher, you know?
Yeah.
Then that's the only thing that draws them in to see it, rather than something that could be good and new and refreshing.
Yeah, I don't even know where they could take Halo that's not part of the original series. I think they are telling the original game.
Yeah, see, that's fine. If you're gonna tell it like the original game, but like they gotta stick to some of the major plot points.
Yeah, you know? I'm actually happy it's Master Chief in this, because when they made Forward Unto Dawn, which was shot here, it was a good movie, but once Master Chief showed up, I wanted to see more Master Chief and how fucking cool he was, and mm-hmm. I didn't get very much of that in Forward Unto Dawn, so...
Yeah, but aren't there, like, all... Like, Master Chief is super cool, but there's tons of Spartans, but isn't Master Chief, like, a special one, because he was, like... Yeah. Red as a baby or something.
Yeah, he's a Spartan 2, so the Spartan 2s were abducted as children by Catherine Halsey, mm-hmm. And then they went through vigorous training and body augmentation to basically become superhuman, and I can't remember how many children started, but only, like, half of them actually made it through, because the other ones died from the augmentation.
Yeah.
I know all this because,
isn't it in Halo 4?
There's a bit of it in the lore, but there's a animated movie on Netflix. I don't know if it's still there, but it's called The Fall of Reach, and fuck, that was interesting. Like, that was so interesting. It was about Master Chief and the original Spartan 2s and what they went through during that whole process and how they all bonded as a group. Yeah, it was super fucking interesting. So anybody who's a Halo fan who has not seen The Fall of Reach should go watch it. It's really, really good.
It's funny how I'm just after remembering how Master Chief was made, that The Witcher and Halo are, like, the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
Like, in Witcher, you start as a child and you go through vigorous training and body augmentation to become a super warrior, and only half the kids survive, and they're fighting against a blight that is coming to destroy the Earth, and Cortana is kind of like Geralt's Siri, and it's really, like, it's weird how similar they are now that I think about it.
Well, except this guy's a space cowboy. Master Chief's a space cowboy, and the Witcher's not.
He's kind of a friggin' medieval cowboy. He rides around on his horse and goes into town to town and takes out the bad guys and takes the money and then rides off into the sunset.
So it's the same dude. The guy who plays The Witcher and Master Chief is the same dude. So when he takes off his helmet, it's going to be the Witcher face.
Henry Cavill, yeah, with the long hair. That's funny.
Fan theory right now.
Right now, he's like, oh, here I am.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill. Actually, you know what's funny, too? Henry Cavill would make a really good... I think he would make a really good Master Chief.
Yeah.
But should he play it? No, but would make a good Master Chief.
God, they better not take off Master Chief's helmet in this fucking series. Like, I'll be fucking livid if the first time that you see Master Chief's face is not in the game.
Hmm. I just picture him looking like the guy who voices him.
Steve Downes, yeah.
Yeah. Because Steve Downes is a big dude, isn't he?
He's an average-sized dude. It's his voice that makes him sound intimidating.
Because didn't he play Master Chief in the Forward Unto Dawn? Like, didn't he do the mocap for it?
I don't think... No. It was a dude that was actually, like, 6'5". Which Steve Downes is not 6'5".
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, I'm excited. And Steven Spielberg is executive producing the Halo TV series. And that's the thing with video game adaptations, like, you pretty much have to do a TV series or a miniseries. Like, just the way games are told, story wise, it's very episodic. Like, each level has a start, like a rising action, like the battle sequence, and then the falling action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's completely episodic, so it just makes so much sense to tell the story in an episodic manner.
Yeah, I think you could, like, I'm a very strong defender of the movie format. You know, like, I think due to, like, human attention span and, like, good storytelling, you can tell something in a shorter span, you know, like, so maybe, like, a miniseries would be good, but I just don't want it to drag on for too long. Like, I don't want, like, 15 seasons of Halo series, you know?
Yeah.
Like, figure out what you're going to tell and tell it.
Totally. Okay, so we got two more, and then we got to sign off here. So Mega Man, like Sonic, Mega Man has enjoyed numerous cartoon and comic book adaptations. While Mega Man games have grown less common over the years, the series is seeing a bit of rebirth with the 2018 Mega Man 11. 20th Century Fox optioned the character for a live-action movie, written and directed by Henry Jost and Ariel Schultzman. The pair previously worked together on MTV's Catfish from 2012 to 2016. However, Disney acquisition of Fox has put the film on hold, alongside dozens of planned projects from 20th Century Fox.
This would be a good Tom Holland character.
Yeah, this is like his chance to play Iron Man, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do that. I'm glad he's doing more than just being Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Playing the Uncharted character.
Well, when you're a young actor like that, it's easy to get stuck in that role. Like, luckily for, like, Daniel Radcliffe, for example.
And also Elijah Wood. They're both breaking out really well. I'm super happy with their careers.
Yeah, 100%. All right, last one on the list, Super Mario Bros., which is being made into an animated thing. Super Mario is... oh, my God.
Synopsis? Synonymous?
Synonymous, thanks. With video games for many people, but Nintendo has typically been protective of its mascot when it comes to the crossovers and adaptations. In January 2018, Nintendo announced it would be partnering with Illumination, the studio behind Despicable Me and Minions, to create an animated Super Mario Bros. Movie. Mario's film creator Shigeru Miyamoto will serve as co-producer on the film. That's good.
I wonder if Mario... Oh, won't say anything. I feel like my comment's going to take away from the creator. Go back to that. Mario's creator.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm glad he's co-producing. Because, like, that's the big thing, too, with video game movies, is you need to have somebody on board that from the actual, like... video game creation. Like, so Shigeru Miyamoto is a perfect example, because it's like, oh, we're gonna do this with a character, and then he'd be like, well, no, you can't do that because A, it'll fucking ruin our brand, and B, you know, this is a crucial part of Mario's character, yada yada yada, right? So, like, it's just having somebody like that there to kind of squish any stupid fucking ideas that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As much as I hate the Minions and I'm not a huge fan of the Despicable Me movies, I'm glad they're the ones doing this, because the animation looks really good. The story and, like, everything about Despicable Me and the Minions is, like, good, except for the fact that it's for children and I'm not interested in it at all.
Yeah.
I think they're good storytellers nonetheless, so.
Okay, great. Well, that about wraps up this podcast. So we'll throw a poll on our website this week for what video game movie are you most excited for. So I think the top five on this list for me, definitely Halo.
Monster Hunter. let's not do Resident Evil. Resident Evil off the top.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I can get behind the Mario Bros. Movie and the Mega Man movie.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Especially if it's going to be animated for the Mario.
Yeah.
Mega Man could be interesting live action.
But. I could see Tom Clancy Rainbow Six being super interesting too. Like, yeah, we've seen a lot of gun games, but you could have a lot of cool drama between the squad-based aspect of the movie.
And Michael B. Jordan is a really good actor. Like, he brings a lot. I think he's a smart guy and makes good choices when it comes to picking movies, so.
Yeah. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening this week, and like I always say, leave us a review on whatever you're listening to us on to let us know what you feel about our show and to help boost our our search ratings. And you guys can join our Discord anytime and join the community that we have here. This is kind of like our little dump of video game fun. Check out our Patreon page. We got some cool stuff on there.
So we do my stickers. I bought some stickers. So yeah. My stickers should be here hopefully soon. How many days does it take to ship?
Oh, it takes like a day to process to manufacture, and then they get shipped pretty quick. So
sweet.
I got to change the shirt to the guy that the supplier for the shirt for the right now, because mine's like already peeling. I'm like, okay, buddy.
Uh oh.
I like every other shirt I've had has been rock solid. Like they've been through the wash so many times, and they're all really good. But yeah, then this one particular supplier is kind of not doing it. So I'm gonna switch the supplier for the shirt for right now.
Right now.
But anyways, guys, thanks a lot, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.